This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
You are listening to The Arenality on ORFM.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to The Arenality, a show on the cultural identities of women in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I hope you've had a lovely week, hopefully better than I have. If you are hearing a little difference in my voice, it's probably because I'm recovering from something. But yeah, I'm feeling mentally well, spiritually well as well. I just lost my voice along the way. So I hope that this, the message that I try to get across today would not be interfered by how my voice is sounding at the moment. I thought today we'll just give some updates on, you know, some reflections I've had this week. I am very excited because at work, we've been having lots of workshops for our broadcasters and podcasters. And yeah, I love coming together and meeting everyone in the same room and also learning with them. So it has been quite an interesting journey as well at work to be doing something different, you know, supporting my colleagues with their workshops. We talked about how to make podcasts and radio shows engaging, or the structure of the interviews and all of that. So there has been a lot of learnings being taken place, and we're quite excited as well to be hosting more workshops around promoting our podcast and social media and all of that. So there's a lot of new learnings that's taken place at work. In terms of things at home, I had a lovely weekend. Actually, there's something really exciting I want to tell you about. I went to my first murder mystery event, and it was probably the most fun thing ever. I love watching and also reading murder mystery books, so this felt like a dream come true for me to be part of the experience. And it was at the Otago Museum, and they had like an evening where people can come and, do drinks and all of that, but people can dress up and be part of the murder mystery event. And obviously, I can't talk too much about the event, but it was really fun because we made new friends, we worked in teams, and we solved the mystery. And we also had the experience of actually wearing something from something vintage. And so it felt like we were part of the stories as well with the actors and actresses. So it was really fun. I went there with my partner Fariz, and I think it was one of the best things we've ever done together as a couple. So I really recommend, if you haven't had something like that as an experience, I think it's a really fun thing to do with your loved ones or your friends. It also helps me to, think about how I can make my life more fun as well. And I think there's a whimsical element to it. And I think it's very important to have something to look forward to. I think we booked our tickets 2 months ago. So it's the only thing I've been talking about. And I think looking for the items at the op shops was very fun too, because there's like little things that you need in order to make your outfit work. In my case, I wore like an old hat, and I was looking for this very specific brooch that took a while to find, but then I found like a $4 one at the op shop. It's like green, and it has a vintage feel to it as well. I also got like a very lacy blouse, which fits my vibe, because I already have a skirt to go with it. So that helped. And one of my favorite things ever that I found at the op shop was the pocket watch. It was like $3 because it wasn't working, but I really just needed the aesthetic of a pocket watch. And I put it around my waist because there was something about people wearing pocket watches then instead of like on your wrist, because that was how it was back then. I obviously haven't done much research on it, but I'm very glad that, you know, it was the little things that I found that made the outfit work, even like white gloves and things like that. Have a look at like murder mystery events around your city. I'm sure there are some around. But we came home feeling really good about the event because it just felt like we stepped into another world. It just felt like we escaped reality for a bit. I think I want to talk a bit about what I learned over the weekend, because on Sunday there was a wellness workshop at the gym, and I've had a really good reflection on what I've learned at the wellness workshop, and it's kind of ironic because I went there while I was recovering from a sickness, so I kind of needed to be there, but at the same time it's kind of weird to be there while you've just came back from feeling worse, the worst version of yourself. So the wellness workshop was hosted at Les Mills. It was hosted by a nutritionist and also personal trainer, Georgia Mayer. So I follow Georgia on Instagram and I saw that she was hosting a wellness workshop. So I thought it would be really fun to go and learn more about your well-being in general, and also how, with her nutrition background, I thought it would be quite important for me to learn more about that side of things. And so a lot of the learnings that I got from the workshop, there was, you know, a few topics, but what I got most out of it was around snacking. It's quite random, but like I thought that for me, that was something that I quite struggled with because it's not something I really think about before. And so, you know, just thinking about my Malaysian background as well, we don't really eat by the clock. And also, you know, we eat when we're hungry and we eat when food is available to us because they were made by our family members, or, you know, we come home and mom already has kuih or anything on the table, or cut fruits and things like that. So, like, I think the discussions of nutrition back home in Malaysia, it wasn't like, oh, you need to have, you know, breakfast at this time, lunch at this time, dinner at this time, stop eating by this time. And between those meal times, there's also, you should also have snacks so that you don't dip and be too hungry between your meals. We don't have anything like that. And so coming here, I think it was a big, big thing for me to learn because I was not aware that, you know, there are benefits to snacking. So that's something I learned. I did not realize snacking is good. I did not realize that it is important to have snacks between your meals so that you're not too hungry, or you're not, you know, you're not having that dip in energy. So I wanted to talk a bit about like it's not just about the concept of snacking in general. It's also the type of food that becomes a snack. I would imagine in Malaysia, our snacks were things that we can find at like Pasar Malam, like those markets, like night markets, like for example, keropok leko, which is like a fish cracker type of thing, or like banana fritters, or even like kuih muih, and that's like sweet or savory desserts. My fun fact, my granddad actually has a gerai kuih in Malaysia. He has like a stall in front of his house where he invites other local community members to sell their kuih muih at the stall, and he gets like a commission from that. But it is really a place to support families and communities and single mothers and things like that. I grew up around the kuih stall, so it has been a very, cherished family history. And also, you know, it's still running up to this day, so it's pretty special. If you are in Malaysia or if you are visiting Malaysia, specifically Perlis, that's like the most northern state in Malaysia, as close as it can be to Thailand. So we're from that part, and where my granddad's kuih muih stall is. It's in Kanga, and it's called Pak Din 2020. So, yeah, completely sidetrack, but that is, I kind of grew up with having lots of kuih muih around me. And we don't really think of them as like, oh, it's snack time, so let's grab something. You know, it's always there. So if we're hungry, we could just grab them. So in Malaysia, I was not familiar with the concept of snacking on nuts or like cheese and crackers and things like that. But coming here, especially when I was working with a nurse while I was recovering from an eating disorder, it was a revelation for me to understand that, you know, the easiest form of snacks are the ones that's easy. So cheese and crackers, very easy. You know, you can buy like a block of cheese and just cut them up. Or, you know, if you're really in a rush, you can just buy those cheese and crackers that's already individually packed. It's kind of expensive though, but, you know, it works for those of you who want to invest in the food rather than the money. So I guess it was a big thing for me to understand that, snacks can be easy. I definitely needed some time to fully accept cheese and crackers. Just coming from my cultural background, it definitely took a while to be familiar with the taste of the different types of cheese. But then I learned that hummus was a thing. So hummus was probably one of the best things I ever found. I'm not even sure if it's like a Kiwi thing. It's probably also like influenced by Middle Eastern or, Italian, cultures, because, the type of hummus that I like were the ones that's like flavored. Like, it's not just plain hummus. It's, with paprika or kumara ones, so it has a lot more flavors and spice to it. So I can have them, because I don't think I can have like bland foods. But I really appreciate the knowledge that I have gained from all of my learnings in the past with the nurse that I learned with, but also from the wellness workshops that I go to, even the things that I sometimes read online. But you do have to make sure that you're reading the most credible things as well, because it's, yeah, food is meant to make you feel good. If it makes you feel bad, you're probably doing something wrong, or you're reading the wrong resources. So I am very aware now, so that I'm making sure that I read, you know, content that is helpful for my body and not straying me away from the actual goal, which is to make me feel bitter inside out, regardless of what happens from that. So, yeah, I think that one of the most important learnings I got from the wellness workshops was something Georgia said. She said that she does not care about what you are eating. She cares about why you are eating. And I think that comes a lot to, like, you know, sometimes we can stress eat, or we can eat as a form of because we're tired, or because we had a bad day at work, or, for example, you know, you're tired, so you come home and you order something from Uber Eats. So I think there's been a lot of, you know, conversations around that, where it's important that you try to manage your emotions and don't make food be involved with it. It's something that I quite struggle with, because I never really see food as nutrition before this. Food has always been something that I do with my family. We eat as a community, and it's something, you know, happy, fun. And it's also something that it's not easy to say no to, because, like, in my family, in my culture, it's quite rude if you say, oh no, I'm full, especially if you go to someone's house, or if you go to a event or anything. It's common courtesy to make the host of the event, or the family, or the person, know that you are enjoying whatever it is that they've prepared, because you are grateful for the efforts that they have given you. So, yeah, there's also a lot of that I think I needed to unlearn, and, you know, not eating when I feel full, stop eating when I feel full, and also, yeah, just because I'm scared of making people feel bad, I keep eating. I think that's a bad one. So I think there's a lot to unlearn there. And yeah, what's so great about learning all of this is I see all of the different ways I have learned in the past, you know, coming from Malaysia and learning, well, not really actively learning about nutrition there, but sort of everything becomes part of culture. And then coming here, and then there's actual learnings around nutrition. And, you know, the concept of food as fuel, that was very new to me. I didn't realize food was fuel. And yeah, it's just a really big thing for people with multiple identities, multiple cultural backgrounds to grasp, because we're just not used to the way it works here. And I am still trying to manage and understand that as well. Yeah, so I have a lot to unpack there. Hopefully you find something useful from my musings today. I do want to let you know about a certain opportunity. It's called Pen Pal Book Gals. It's a Aotearoa New Zealand Pen Pal book club, which I found on Instagram, which I think is really, really cool. Too cool to not share, because when I found it, I immediately signed up. So I have not had the experience with them yet, but I have registered. So I'm really looking forward to share updates on where this might lead. So Pen Pal Book Club, Pen Pal Book Gals is a Instagram account that is organizing like a Pen Pal Book Club. So what you do is you register and then you get assigned. Oh, wait, you register, you tell them that your top three book genres that you love. And for me, obviously, I chose my top three, which is romance, mystery, and also Japanese fiction. So those are my top three. And what they do is they match you up with other people who might have similar interests as you do, which is why the top three helps, right? So you get matched up and you get the address of that person, and then you get to choose what book you would recommend to that person, and you know, follow up with a letter and things like that, and make it all cute, and because it's really fun. I think I am quite excited for the crafty side of it. So yeah, you make a friend through recommending books, and I am very excited. I already have a book in mind, even though I haven't been matched with anyone yet, but you know, regardless of who they are, I already know what are like a list of books I would recommend to them. So I'm very excited. I will keep you up to date where that comes true, because there's so much to look forward to in life, and I have made it a mission this year to find fun things to look forward to, especially after coming back from the Asia New Zealand Foundation Arts Hui. I realized that there's so many things in this little country, all these opportunities that we are just not aware of. We just have to keep talking about them and share so that, you know, our life is more than just our 9-to-5. There's just so many things we can look forward to. So yeah, I enjoyed talking with you today. Hope you did as well. And I will see you guys again next time. Ka kite.
You've been listening to The Arenality on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.